There are three things that you can do right now that will accelerate and empower and deepen your entire search for love. Stay tuned to this episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast to learn what they are.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page, and I'm a psychotherapist. I'm the author of the book Deeper Dating, and I'm the co-founder of DeeperDating.com, a site where single people can meet in an online environment that's fun, inspiring, kind, and respectful. And today, I'm going to talk about three things that you can do that will immediately empower and accelerate and deepen your search for love. In this podcast, I'm going to share with you the greatest tools that I know to help you find love and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process, because the skills of dating are nothing more than the skills of love, which are the greatest skills of all for a happy life. And if you want to learn more about the Deeper Dating Path to Real Intimacy, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com. And if you sign up for my mailing list, you'll get free gifts. You'll be able to get transcripts of every episode and get to hear all 102 episodes. I also just want to say that everything I share in this podcast is educational in nature. It's not medical or psychiatric advice or treatment. Please seek help if you feel you need it. And by the way, if you like what you're learning here, it would be a wonderful thank you if you subscribed on iTunes or elsewhere and left me a review. So thank you so much for that. And let's jump in. So the first thing that you can do, and these are things that I would love and encourage you to make actionable, because really, finding love is such a difficult and mysterious and complicated thing, that wherever there are the gems of real tools that work, it's just such a healing and empowering feeling to feel like you know those tools and you can use them. So I'm going to give you three broad tools. If you can take one of them and make it yours, even today, it will be a really, really good thing. We are so misguided with advice about how to find love, as if the wisdom doesn't come from our guts, as we say in Jewish, our kishkas, our deep insides, as if the wisdom doesn't come from there, as if it comes from somewhere outside, as if we need this it to be able to be sexy and attractive and desirable, some kind of it that we have to figure out what it is, as opposed to living the magic of who we are. These different tools that I'm going to give you will help you live the magic of who you are, of what your gifts are, and help you mature and develop those gifts and learn to become more of an artisan in your search for love and your intimacy journey as a whole. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. So the first one I'm going to mention is one that is, well, I mean, they're all a little bit uphill. They take some work. They take some practice. But the first one is one that I have resisted a lot in my life. And then the breaking through that resistance is what led to my marriage and a lot of growth. It was the essence. It was the absolute essence of what transformed a pretty painful and rough period of decades of deeply looking for love and never finding it. This was something that really transformed it. And here's what it was. I stopped looking for love in my old ways, which, you know, in those days as a gay man in New York City involved the clubs and the parties and all of those kind of things. Not that I didn't adore dancing and continue dancing even when I changed these patterns, because I did. But changing these patterns changed my world and changed my life. And it was saying that I'm not just going to look for people in those ways, which now is just kind of somewhat kind of mindless or habitual or non-soulful approach to finding love online, which I think is the common way that people do that now. Instead, saying that you are going to think about what your deepest passions and interests and values are, and that you are going to go to, at this point, online environments when you can go to non-online environments, fantastic, but there's so much online too, with people who deeply share the values and passions that matter the most to you. I have been a therapist for a really long time, working with people who are single and looking for relationships. And I would say this is, in many ways, the single most powerful tool. I have story after story in my head of people finally doing this, finally going to the events, joining the communities with people who share their deepest values. And maybe they didn't find their partner there, but they met someone who introduced them to their partner. Or they met someone who introduced them to another event that really fed their passions, and they met their partner there. I can't tell you how many stories of that I've heard, because when we're in environments like that, we begin to glow. We begin to show who we really are. It's easier and more comfortable to do that with people who share the things that matter the most to you. And when you do that, you become more beautiful. You become more alive. You are more noticed by people who are looking for someone like you. So it's not going to be the first time that you go to an event like that that you meet your soulmate, probably, or the second or the third. But I pretty much promise you that you will dramatically, dramatically speed your path to finding your one when you do this. It's not that there's not other work to do and other patterns that need to be changed, etc., etc., but this is the place to start if you want a really big bang for your buck. So you could even do that, and I encourage you to take one of these things on right now, if you can, or at some point today. Look online for events and communities with people who care about the same things you care about, and join and connect. And look for events and communities, particularly with people, with a good number of people of the gender or genders that you're interested in. And there are also niche dating sites that you can find that, yeah, they have a lot smaller numbers of people, but at the same time, they also have people who share the things that really matter to you. And in fact, on deeperdating.com, we're very clear of offering ways that people can search for people who share their values, interests, and passions. So something I really believe in, if you get out there and do that, it will enrich you and it will also speed your path. What I would love is for a bunch of people listening now to try that and to then go to deeperdatingpodcast.com under the Ask Ken session section and leave me a message telling me about what your experience was and what it was like, so I can begin to share these experiences with other people. It is different to do that. It is wiser, smarter dating. Next, find a learning partner. Literally, these three tools will change your future. They truly, truly will. So much more than a lot of the habitual patterns that probably, if you're anything like I was, and like so many of us are, you've tried again and again, but haven't necessarily worked. Find a learning partner. So how do you find a learning partner? You go through your list of connections. You look for someone, preferably single, but they don't have to be single, because you can support them in whatever area they want to grow in. But it's nice if it's two single people doing that. There's something really good about that. Someone who has integrity. Someone who doesn't hurt you, who cares about you, who has your best interests at heart. Someone who has good character, and someone who is willing to grow, change, and work toward their goal. Someone with a rich sense of insight. Those people are a team. They are our gold. So if you find somebody like that, and you commit to just connecting together for half an hour a week, and making plans and bringing mindfulness and awareness to your search for love, you can use a template of learning, any teacher that you want, including my work, the deeper dating work, but any template you want, the two of you could use that together, and you could go through it, and every week you could touch base to bring more power, bravery, depth, habit breaking, risk taking, vulnerability, and commitment to love to your journey. I pretty much promise you, you will shave off vast amounts of time in your search for healthy love if you do this. And the research backs this up 1,000%. We need a community or a person with whom we can learn, have insights, practice those insights, and do all of the failing and rewiring and bitching and complaining and sharing and longing and yearning and complaining some more, and all the things that we do with people that we feel safe with when we're on a journey with them, that you will get to do that with them. But there'll be so many points where you bring something up and they're just going to say something and it's going to touch you. It's going to open a door, and it's going to spark a kind of ambition to growth and healing. And that is beautiful. We learn from kind of jumping from stone to stone, from rock to rock. Sometimes I think of the wiser dating journey as being kind of like parkour. Like, there you are, and there's a ledge in front of you. There's a space you can't get through. So you look, what's the next ledge that you could somehow get to, which for you, for me, for us, is the next point of insight, the next point of understanding, the next point of commitment. Those insights are our fuel. And so we leap from where we are into that insight, and it brings us to the next ledge, to the next rock, to the next point. And we wait for insight, and we get insight from our learning partner, we get insight from our practices, from our growth, and when we get that, we just make a leap. So how does this parkour person get from one point to another that looks just completely crazy? They do it by looking at the next point that they can leap to. For us, it's our next insight. And when you do this work in a more conscious way, you will have insights. You'll say, oh, I've been pushing this really nice person away without even realizing it. Or there's a person I'm interested in, and I am just totally too afraid to let them know. So I hang out with them on a regular basis, but I don't truly tell them. Or whatever it is, those are the points that we need to leap to when we get those insights. You will get them with your learning partner. You will make a commitment to take that leap, and then you will meet with your learning partner and report on how you did. It makes all the difference in the world, not to mention it's free and it's fun. So that's point number two. And if you weren't going to do point number one, or even if you were, if you can go through your list of contacts and find someone and ask them and concretize this, your year will be different, your search for love will be different, and hence your future will be different. These are real things. So the third is a little bit harder. It takes a lot of courage. It is incredibly powerful. You get a huge bang for your buck with this one. You truly do. You change your field. You change your future. And that is to admit, it's a humbling thing, to admit the ways that you are pushing love away even as you're seeking it. Maybe you keep choosing people that you know in your guts aren't going to be right for you or aren't going to be good for you. Maybe you keep choosing people that you're not deeply passionate about because they're safer. Maybe you find that you're drinking too much or smoking too much. Maybe it's internet porn. Maybe you meet wonderful people and then you've kind of feel the need to flee. These are humbling things to face. But let me tell you, if you can, with the help of your learning partner or on your own, but hopefully with the help of your learning partner or therapist or coach, if you can find the ways that you are pushing love away consciously, unconsciously, semi-consciously, and you can admit those things to yourself. It's very humbling, but it is very life-changing. And if you can make a plan to change that, and then please, please, please get the support you need, because we do not change patterns just by willpower, almost ever. That's usually a myth. We do it, and the research backs this up. I think 10% of people who want to change a really deeply entrenched pattern succeed unless they have a template for a process that they believe in, and they have a community of support where they can fail, pick themselves up, and rewire, and get support and care again and again. That's who succeeds. So if you can admit this humbling truth that almost against your own will, you are avoiding love, turning from it, pushing it away, not making yourself present for it. If you can do that, I believe that's heroic, truly heroic. And what I can promise you, or let me say almost completely promise you, but it's something that I have found to be true again and again. When you address that, when you change that, there will be ways that your world will open. And the people you meet will be different. The way you interact with them will be different. And your luck will shift. There's almost nothing that you're going to get a bigger bang for your buck around in your search for love than admitting the places where your fear of intimacy holds you back and full-heartedly, with support, addressing those things. It changes your luck. It changes your field. So this may take some searching to find a path that you really believe in, teachings that you believe in, support that feels safe and that you really believe in. But this is something that is really something I've found to be really true in my own life. There is almost no greater meat and potatoes intimacy skill than seeing the ways that were not available for love and admitting it and longing to change and then practicing changing. That is one of the most central intimacy skills that exist, not to be beyond our fear of intimacy, but to begin to learn its language and to work with it and to create transformation. So thank you for listening. And before we end this episode, I want to encourage you to just take a minute. You could pause it right now, but I encourage you not to get through and past this episode without doing this. Consider picking one of these. Allow yourself to become a kind of growth athlete in your search for love. It's a joyful, empowering, wonderful experience. It's like that great experience when you exercise and all of a sudden you notice that you have more strength, you have more resilience, you have like more muscle, more bounce. It's just the best feeling. And the same is true in our search for love when we start to really bring wisdom to it. And there's a joy that happens when we know that we're really making change around something that matters so, so much. So I deeply encourage each one of you to try at least one of these things. Just take it on. Take on all three if you really are ready to go for it. And watch what happens. Well, thank you so much for listening. Go to deeperdatingpodcast.com or deeperdating.com, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.